Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Pagadampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahir Yusuf. And today we're going to kick things off by talking about King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, the new movie by director Guy Ritchie, which is also complete and utter garbage.
That's a bit harsh, but...
What did
really
we watch?
I've seen worse.
Okay.
It's no Gods of Egypt.
No.
But it's close.
As soon as we came out of the cinema, I saw a tweet from the US from a critic who just saw it, who said it is Gods of Egypt.
Before the press screening, Ian tweeted out, going to watch King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously.
I'm not sure what you saw before this to even lead you towards cautious optimism.
I don't know. It's Guy Ritchie, isn't it? I mean...
In it is in right.
It, he does all right. I don't know. Those Sherlock Holmes movies, they's all right.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of his Sherlock Holmes films.
No.
I think they came out a wrong time. They came out with the Benedict Cumberbatch TV series. And Elementary. And there were just way too many sort of adaptations of Sherlock Holmes. I think he's leaning into the Guy Ritchie style very hard.
So.
Yeah.
So
like,
hard.
Move on.
It's like we've done Sherlock Holmes Guy Ritchie style.
Yeah.
Now let's do Arthurian legend Guy Ritchie style.
But it's not even Guy Ritchie style. It's like it started off with a full tank of Lock Stock and he's been slowly diluting it over time. So there's two, I think, moments where they really stand out as Guy Ritchie having some boys having the mad bants. They're having a mad banter. They're talking about stuff. It's all, oh, like, do some banter. And then it's like, right, back to normal medieval.
Then it's just normal guys. Yeah.
No, and that's the first thing I wrote down in my notebook. And I said the tone of this movie, within the first 15 minutes, the tone of this movie is all over the place.
The opening scene is a shot where it's like, what's this? There's no explanation. There's just a tower on fire.
Yeah.
And then it cuts away for a
bit.
There's a, without spoiling anything, there's a scene where they cut away for dramatic reasons so they can reveal something later. But that makes the whole scene make no sense. There's the scene at the wharf.
Yeah.
It's like something happens and then it pops up, Guy Ritchie's King Arthur. And you're like, what?
What?
Yeah. Did something missing? What happened there? Yeah. After a while, I kind of gave up and kind of, it was like, you know, being on a tube on the rapids. You just kind of let it sweep me away.
It does kind of, you can let it sweep you away, but
you've no choice. It's a raging rapid. You're going to the Darklands whether you like it or not,
but
and you don't know
you
what
going?
They are and what's
going
to happen
the problem.
There.
You're getting swept away to nothingness.
Yeah.
I'm watching this film and I keep hoping it's going to get better. Throughout this whole movie, I'm like, maybe he's got a plan.
Yeah.
Because if you want to reintroduce the Arthurian legend, say to a 2017 audience, you want to talk about Merlin and Lady of the Lake, you need to have a reason to do it. Either you do it completely traditional style, like, I don't know, Game of Thronesy, dark, gritty Arthur.
Because there have been movies where it's like at the last minute you say, and we shall call you Arthur. And they try to have that at the end of this, but they can't because they've called their movie King Arthur.
Yeah.
There's a moment where it's like, all right, we're not going to call you Sasquatch anymore. You're now Sir, what's his name, of the Round Table. And I mean, that whole stuff is so tacked on and completely unearned. And if they had maybe not made it a King Arthur movie, just called it Legend of the Sword,
correct,
that might have led into that. But they didn't.
It wouldn't have made it a better movie.
No. You're watching it going like, that's Eric Bana. And he's being all right. But what, I mean, Jude Law in this is doing a good Jude Law.
No, yeah, Jude Law's doing great. Jude
but then Law. Again, you can't really recall the last time Jude Law was in anything good except for The Young Pope.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. This is Young Pope season two.
Yeah, but that was a HBO thing. In cinema, he's made some really bad choices.
Yeah. Charlie Hunnam is like a black hole, a gaping black hole absolutely. At the center of the movie. There's no charisma or charm
nothing
there
at all. Yeah, yeah.
And I liked him in Pacific Rim.
I like him. I really like him in Sons of Anarchy. Mm. But there's nothing here.
No, Charlie Hunnam has taken over Dave Patel. As being like cinema kryptonite.
Yeah.
He sucks the personality out of every movie.
And him trying to keep up with the British actors while they're doing the banter just feels weird.
Yeah.
He's just a step behind everybody, I think. Just even when they're trying to do that quick cut banter thing, like, and you could tell Guy Ritchie had to like cut that into pace, but he still felt slightly behind.
Yeah,
and the bits where he was in and out of accent, it just feels weird.
I didn't even notice that. I was just like,
there were some bits he was trying to be in.
I think it's because I just see that's Charlie Hunnam. That's not King Arthur. That's not an English actor. That's Charlie Hunnam. He just does his accent no matter what he's playing. He's basically modern day Sean Connery. He's modern day Sean Connery these days.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, who may not have seen a Guy Ritchie movie, he does this. Pacey cuts, right?
Where people
he
telling stories,
flashes back and forth.
Yeah.
Like a group of two or three people telling stories, usually about a bit of underhand dealings. And as they're telling the story, they're cutting back to that and cutting back to the conversation and interrupting the story and being, what do you call it, unreliable narrator and
correct.
Back and forth.
And the POV
and back and
keeps
forth.
Changing
it's
back and forth.
Very frenetic, very fast.
And with a nice bit of music in the background, some slap bass going on.
And it was very clever in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and it was very clever in Snatch. Sherlock Holmes, he tried to do it a little too much. Mm,
and that's what it's like, there's bits of it and the rest of it's a normal movie.
Yes, but what this feels like to me is someone parodying Guy Ritchie's style, like making a YouTube version of a Guy Ritchie film. I mean, everything was a montage, and they tried to rush through everything so quickly. There's it's like, Arthur, you need to know how to use your sword, so we're going to take you to the Darklands, and everything's going to be this really fast-paced, fast-forwarded montage.
Yeah. That was crazy. Ta-da! That's normally like the third act of a movie.
Correct.
That would be like the challenge the hero fights before he has to acknowledges his birthright. Yeah. And this is like an ad break.
The Darklands felt like a trailer to a movie about the Darklands.
Yeah.
You know, like there are all these moments that seem cool, but you never really see anything. You never see anything develop or happen or end.
Yeah.
It just blah, 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 end. Huh?
There is actually, I think, zero character development. I mean, Charlie Hunnam's character, not himself, develops a little bit, but everyone else just is as they are, apart from the ones who are dead. Everyone else is exactly almost
pretty
as they
much,
are at the beginning, as they are at the end. There's no real development for
any
of them.
Yeah. No.
Even those who seek revenge on people and get it don't seem to really.
No, nothing.
They don't savor that revenge at all. There is no great moment where you feel a sense of redemption or a sense of joy at the. You know, at either someone's achievement or the comeuppance of a bad guy. You don't get any of that.
No.
There are randomly magical giant snakes that show up for
no reason at all. It's like, here's a snake. You're like, here's a bigger snake. Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
Where did that come from? Didn't anybody notice this 100-foot
snake? Yes, England
snake?
Has snakes, but they're really small. They're not the size of trucks.
This movie is all over the shop. It's insane.
And that's before we get to even talk about the video game effects that the film degenerates into at certain points. Now, again, video games have come on a lot. I don't want to be down on video games, but some of these are like the bad video games that you would think of when you think of bad video games. Like mid-2000s level graphics.
Yes,
correct. And also, it feels like it's all right when you're playing a video game.
Yeah.
You're in that mental set. But in this case...
Well, you're engaged. You're doing something.
You're doing
something. You're kind of looking at your watch.
And in this movie, you reach the end, and it's like, boss fight.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
And it completely detaches you because it was The Matrix Reloaded, I think, was the one where they took the very cool bullet time and think still mostly stands up from the first movie and replaced it with the kind of faux moving through a 3D space. Like an extended bullet time even more, but used digital actors. And the digital actors looked awful.
Yep.
This has that where the shot is supposed to look like one big shot, but you know it's one big CGI shot, so nothing's real. So the moment it starts and Arthur sits swinging a sword, you're completely unengaged.
Yeah. And it's weird that, like, especially in the boss fight, they were doing the... They did the CG fight thing, but then they would cut to actual Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
And then you go back
looking
to the,
stung.
Looking, yeah. And then they go back into CG fight sequence, and then they go back to, and it really throws you off.
And you know Charlie Hunnam is standing in a room that's green in color.
Yeah.
And being told, hold this sword and move in slow motion.
Yeah.
Faster, more intense.
And you can't see anything.
And everything's in dark. Yeah. Like the big boss is in.
It was super dark.
Super dark. And it was in a like stormy setting. So everything was dark on dark.
Yeah,
on
they
dark.
Went to another parallel universe that was never explained
for
any
some
reason.
Reason.
For some reason,
yeah,
where
some
it was darker to
some,
fight.
Yeah.
I think back to what might have been an original pitch for this movie, and I think maybe I would have watched that movie. I mean, I think back to Guy Ritchie going to a studio and saying, hey, I got this great idea. Arthur Pendragon gets
Origins.
Ditched by, you know, his family who've been brutally murdered. He gets raised by prostitutes. He becomes a gangster called Art.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's the story about how a gangster becomes king.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, I could see that working. It's a different take on the Arthurian legend. It's even a different take on the character.
Yeah.
And there were moments in this film when they're in Londinium and you see that. You see that, oh, he's trying to make an Arthurian gangster movie.
Yeah.
But it's too quick, it's too short.
And they keep cutting back to the Camelot stuff.
And it just doesn't land.
No.
Potential,
like if he was
totally
a crime
wasted.
Lord who rose to be King of England, that would be interesting.
Exactly.
But they bail on that almost immediately. They do get into a little bit of guerrilla warfare, apparently they invented. But apart from that, that's all there is to it.
Yeah. This is not a good movie, folks.
Yeah. It's Guy Ritchie's Lord of the Rings in it.
In it. It's full of banter, though.
Yeah, but it's not good banter. Banter's got to be good. That you don't get to call it banter if it's just bad.
Is it really full of banter, though? Mm. Or just a couple of sequences? Hey, but hey, Aladdin, wasn't it? He's doing next.
Oh, dear God.
If Guy Ritchie messes up Aladdin for me, I will hunt him down.
Jason Statham is the genie.
I can't find anything redeeming about this film to recommend to you. There's enough opening this weekend. There's enough in cinemas that you don't have to go and watch King Arthur Legend of the Sword.
Yeah.
But if you absolutely must and do, please tell us how much you hate this movie. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
That's right. You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.